seems I would find myself without the company of Peter today. He was rather dismayed that his dreams had dried up somewhat of late. This was not an uncommon thing. People would have various degrees of dreams, from very few to many, for various reasons, nothing to necessarily be concerned about. And besides, his absence ensured we had more biscuits between our reduced group. Lindsay was in attendance, and as was Gwen, my mother. Lindsay had been scouring the house, seeking out Peter's dream journal. She assumed initially that the reason for Peter's lack of sharing and presence was that his book of dreams contained something she wasn't meant to hear. Finally assuring her this was not so, that there wasn't a dream in there depicting Lindsay in less than a savoury state of being, we were finally settled and seated, and I would proceed. In this dream, I was meeting a vast array of various individuals, quite the plethora of species, rather the assortment of races, from reptilians to cat people, and everything in between. I must have been pinging all over the cosmos. A busy night of real-side encounters and interaction. My objective was presenting the new, the references to the is, etc., and I was met with great success. My sharings were well received and widely accepted across all these species generally. So far nothing had elected to bite my head off, and some of these species certainly had the teeth to do it. But not only did I encounter those ready to accept the opportunity of the ears, but I drew the attention of those who not only dismissed what I presented, but were vehemently opposed to it. It seems at one point I was met with an ill fate at the hands of those who do not want the ears to be known. I was drowned on some planet or other. But at that point I was objectively viewing my demise, and it seems then it wasn't teeth I should have been wary of, as I had my very teeth unrelated death. From this position now, I observed how all those individuals who had embraced the new presentation were not only the subject of ridicule and persecution from their respective races and species, but were hunted down, eliminated also, and those that survived this slaughter went into hiding. Full credit must I give for all who began their process of becoming more aware, despite all that transpired, and even as many were slain and pursued relentlessly across creation, they never wavered or faltered in their focus and recognition of their real intent. The final scene seemed to have jumped from these happenings to a moment in the future, and as it transpired, not only had all the individuals beginning their journey persisted with it, regardless of if they were still on the physical life level, or having been passed on to their next position by the hands of others, but all those who had been responsible for the mass executions had come around also, and were now on their process too, of becoming more aware, and standing real with the ease. Before I awoke, after a very busy night's activities, I was attacked by a few family members, as if there hadn't been enough attacks already. In the interests of tact, I won't mention their names. The first thing Lindsay wanted to know was the details, names and addresses, of the family members, but my lips were sealed on the matter, even as she accused me and Peter of a conspiracy of silence. And were these perhaps the details to be found in his elusive dream book, and on the lips also of his elusive self? But I wasn't to be baited, and the identities remained with me. I was doing my thing, playing my part, gallivanting across creation on the real side, and spreading and sharing the is to give others this golden opportunity. And thus my way is also earned more so, as I support the true light reality of the All Is, and it in turn supports me in assistance of my awareness. Lindsay grumbled how keeping secrets surely wasn't awareness enhancing for anybody, but I proceeded with my dialogue. Most encouraging as to the extent to which many of the species were most agreeable to my sharings, and hopped on board most readily. I would suggest that these species evidently are not as subliminally controlled and programmed, and so rigidly locked in literalism, and if they are of a literal personal persuasion, with references to the All Is provided, they are very enthusiastic to see and know more. But of course the dark forces come to bear, their agents spread across the psych realms, and infecting every species and corner of the various universes and dimensions. What they can't suppress with technology on behalf of the Callum, they do so by force. And this was demonstrated in the dream. I would suggest the sword far less effective in suppressing awareness, however, as despite being eliminated, practically all those I interacted with were adamant in their real intent and firm in their resolve to continue with their process of awareness, despite the hair, fur, and scale-raising circumstances, and even when passing over, most maintained their focus and proceeded on undaunted, a testament to their determinations, courage, and risk-taking. At the point I was struck down also, I was continuing to be in contact with all these individuals objectively regarding my demise. I was viewing then from my real self. This seemed to prove not a hindrance to my effectiveness. Seems then those I had reached had the awareness to connect with me beyond the physical, assuming they still were there, or on the life levels beyond. So was this a glimpse into another dimension or lifetime where I was sharing in this regard and eliminated by the dark forces? As everything is now and in this moment, that includes every lifetime, past and future, and every dimension. So who knows whereabouts this occurred, where or when, as time only exists in creation anyway. Or it could have been just an attack on the real side, and being in a state of awareness, I was able to handle the situation, and although they believed me dispatched, I was far from it. So the entire experience demonstrates that yes, many species across creation are very susceptible to the sharings of the is, very eager to receive the information and put it into practice. And even in the face of oppositional adversary seeking to rob them of their opportunity, they are very strong in their real intent conviction, and undaunted to a large degree. And finally, it is reinforced how everybody eventually, despite how dark a road they have chosen for themselves, even the most ardent of Callum supporters will some day begin their journey too. Yes, they have done all that they have, and they will have the corresponding cause and effect consequences, and the trials and tests to gauge carefully their intents and sincerity accordingly. But irrespective of what an individual has done, every moment is new, and at any moment, individuals can step into that new moment and choose a different direction, connect with the ears and the real guides, and begin their journey too, to be with the true reality. For stepping into the new nowness of the ears with complete sincerity has us beyond karma now. The slate is wiped clean, and surely it's far better to get on with the process now than compound even more consequences, karmically speaking, that you would continue to amass by maintaining the disconnect from your real self and awareness. And for those family members who do get silly and try to intervene, my advice to them is pack it in. It's a futile effort, and rather boring, to be fair. It exemplifies again how, if individuals are not connected to their real selves beyond creation, then they can be programmed and controlled within it, and potentially be activated like assassins, little Callum agent pawns, and they may be oblivious to the fact they are used thus. Through awareness can we get a measure of control over all our vehicles that are in the psych realms, by first being aware of them, and then getting them under control and on board, ideally, with our focus on awareness and being with the ears. Lindsay made her best impersonation of a zombie and shuffled towards me. Despite her attempted mirth, this potential Manchurian candidate scenario was very real and should be treated with the seriousness it demanded. Even as Lindsay was prodding me with what she proclaimed to be a poison-tipped banana. As a side note, just before going to bed that night, I spent a little time reading on the internet about all the various alien species across creation, as I always did find otherworldly beings of great fascination. It seemed then to have been the catalyst for my going off on the real side and meeting many of the species I had researched, and many more besides. So it's a reminder that what we engage in just before sleep can have a bearing on our real side activities. I find if I indulge in something of a personal nature only, like watching TV, I'm less likely to have experiences of a more productive kind. And the opposite holds true too. Reading new books or editing some videos that provide a benefit, awareness speaking, will open up the real side to a greater extent. That, or it's not the experiences that are different, but the connection to my awareness that the activities I do before bed afford. So the activities do provide a focus and enhanced recognition on the real side to facilitate bringing back these escapades more effectively. Lindsay pondered the possibility of my having dreams about zombies armed with deadly bananas, or maybe reptilian zombies, and would further inquire if reptilian zombies were possible. Lindsay pondered the possibility of my having dreams about zombies armed with deadly bananas, in lieu of the fact that just now she had impersonated one and implanted this notion in my consciousness. Or maybe reptilian zombies, and would further inquire if reptilian zombies were possible in a creation where everything theoretically was. Well, if there were such reptilians, I hadn't seen any. But then they did have a tendency to eat humans anyway. So in a way, they had similar traits to zombies, just less likely to wear tatty rags and shuffle about very slowly. Although, despite how slow a zombie moved, it seemed always to catch people. Something that had baffled the movie watcher since the inception of the zombie concept. So, anyway, when we dream, there are effectively two dreams going on. One which is at the forefront, the one that the literal personal self can only see, but one behind it, from which the dream in the forefront stems from. Just like how creation is at the forefront, and the is the reality from which it stems from. And it is awareness recognition of this reality that allows us to see what the dream actually is demonstrating, what is behind the surface of the dream, just as it is with creation and the all is. And so, if our focus is diminished, the awareness connection slightly lacking, the recognition then is reduced, and we may see less of what the dream is demonstrating, and maybe to the extent of only the surface part of it. Lindsay replaced the now battered banana and sat impatiently for the next dream. Perhaps the explanations were rather long-winded, but essential material nonetheless. Considering Lindsay's penchant for shopping, I felt this next dream would appeal to her addictive purchasing nature. She'd surely appreciate the setting. I just hoped she wouldn't ask whereabouts in creation this particular shopping mall existed. In this dream, I would find myself then in a shopping mall, a standard, as you might picture, a place of purchase convenience, all the genetically modified foods you could ever eat, all the irrelevant junk you could ever assume the ownership of. Anyway, I was with Gwen and a few other unidentifiable individuals, and the mall was thriving with peoples as they went about their activities. It was all very mundane, a rather boring reflection of the earth, in fact. This would never do. It was the real side, after all. We could move beyond boredom, and thus it was time to liven up proceedings. I elected to take to the air and fly about the mall like a bird, and as you can imagine, this drew the attention of most, if not all, of the mall goers. The adults generally would only go so far as to watch, rather perplexed. If I were a real bird, and not just flying as one, I may have pooped on their perplexed, slack-jawed faces. The children, however, were very taken by this, and wanted to learn to fly also, and so I would land and explain how on the real side, restriction and limitation is only that which we decide, as things are far more malleable and manipulated beyond the density of the physical level. And many of them did begin to fly themselves. There were a few, however, who, although wishing to do so, were seemingly unable, and rather upset as a result, and so I took it in turns to take these grounded children by the hand, and we flew up and down the mall. It was almost like I was teaching them how to fly, like an adult bird might its younglings. Seems my avian activities had drawn the attention of the ever-watchful dark forces, and they descended upon me. They were dressed like Matrix agents. I'm sure they felt themselves to look very impressive and awe-inspiring indeed. But was I awed by their dark suits and square heroic jaws? Not a bit of it. As they chased me along the mall, I took to the more evasive mode of motion that flying provided, and it was rather difficult for them to catch me. They had quite the assortment of gadgets and such strange devices that they hurled in my direction that seemed to act as snares of a kind. One of them was a little exploding bomb, which wasn't very effective in and of itself, rather like one of those pathetic indoor fireworks. A little farting noise, a whiff of smoke, and it's time to move on to the next, likely to be just as lame, firework. But when it exploded, all these tiny green-yellow bugs spewed forth, and in my awareness state, I knew that I must not allow these bugs to touch me. I'm uncertain what would have happened should I have come into contact with them, but knew to avoid this, and so I did. I left the agents behind with all their nonsense and trickery, but had reached the end of the mall, my way barred by a final agent. Seems he was one of a different type. He was very large and powerfully built, and had great manipulative magics that he brought to bear. He assailed me with his powers, but I utilized my own abilities, and mine were more effective. I blasted him with an engulfing blue fire, and he was propelled backwards and smashed through the very wall he stood before and into the street beyond. I stepped over his limp form and went on my merry way. Lindsay suggested that the bugs indicated how the controllers were bugging us all, and I had to give her credit for that one. She was getting the drift of dream demonstrations now. I explained how the houses represent the personal vehicles, that which an individual has created for themselves and is attached to such an extent that this is demonstrated in this manner on the real side. In this experience we have a mall full of peoples, the majority of which seem to lack much by way of awareness, demonstrated by their mundane and very routine activities. So this mall would represent the created personal little selves of a large number of people, perhaps, the created collective consciousness, and programmed to agree to that which keeps them in very limited life positions, demonstrated by the subliminal drive to buy, consume, cater only for the personal self, and the awareness is disregarded. But we can see how always there are those ready to accept the opportunity, the possibility of something they have never known. Some people are ready to fly, as it were, to get above the restriction of creation, affording better viewpoints that standing real will allow. Lindsay felt I really ought to have become a full bird and perhaps stolen all the controller's potato chips. Something to bear in mind in future encounters, maybe. I could deprive the Dark Force agents of their chips and cause psychological devastation to their well-being, giving me the advantage of my awareness, their lack of it, and added dismay of them being chipless. But anyway, I in essence demonstrated something that potentially could spark the real intent recognition of the mall-goers. I flew about and above their programmed heads. We can see how the adults generally are far more rigid in their considerations of what they think in their minds life is, and far less likely to recognize the opportunity of the is, even as it soars above their heads. But the children are far more agreeable to something that makes sense, as every child in the mall wanted to fly too, as they are not quite so self-convinced as they may become as they age and become fossilized with the self-imposed limitations. And of course, the controllers always are watching what we do and seek to put a stop to anyone sharing the ears, as they wish to keep everyone as slaves and not escape from lifetimes of endless servitude. In this dream, we see how, yes, I could have engaged the controllers and fought with them, but is it not so that by attacking that which opposes our awareness process, we are forging further agreement? We are reacting to them, the ideas they thrust forth, and so we have been baited emotionally, generally, and agree in essence with the ideas they have created, and the cause and effect consequences that must follow as we step out of the new nowness of the ears and are now with our personal selves and in cause and effect creation. In this case, then, I remained connected to my real self, standing with the ears in awareness, and was then able to step around all the situations, all the ideas they threw at me. Rather than engage the controllers and get sucked into cause and effect turmoil, through awareness and standing with the ears, I superseded creation, bypassed the controllers with little trouble whatsoever, and left them far behind. For being in a state of awareness and connected with our real selves, we can better handle any situation and do what is necessary to survive, keeping the personal self out of the equation. It would be along for the ride, but unwise to allow it to interject into any situation. I didn't supersede the last agent as such, but we have a right to defend ourselves, and so, as he saw fit to attack me, I retaliated. An example of instant karma for anyone attacking someone standing real. Confrontation always would be a part of the individual's experience on their process of awareness. Cause and effect required to open things up, to progress further through what we choose to do, and this will bring on the controllers, provide them an opening to intercede. It was to be expected, and part of the reason why it was referred to as risk-taking. And I effectively had blasted open one end of the mall, so had fragmented the created collective consciousness of the peoples who the mall represented, giving them an opening, a glimpse into the real universes beyond creation, an opportunity then for them to step into the real light of the true reality. I'm certain the children would have done so. As for the adults, who knows? Maybe they went back to their purchasing, adding more things to their basket, adding more layers of ideas to their created consciousness, and forfeiting their opportunity. Lindsay asked about the shoe shops that were present in this mall. Considering it was the real side, were there wacky space boots to be purchased, sported by funky aliens from far distant galaxies? I simply replied, no, and smirked at Lindsay's frown. She was evidently picturing herself wearing clothing made by tailors from the Andromeda system or something. Maybe I could get her an Orion boot, as they were rather large beings. She could effectively live in it, and wouldn't that make such a grand novelty home? Lindsay didn't relish the thought of being within the confines of anyone's shoe, unless she had assurances as to the individual's impeccable personal hygiene. It was time for a dream, incorporating dubious fellows. People could assume any attitude, from pleasant to grumpy, anything they decided to add to their created personality. Amongst the array of created personalities that people presented to the world were the less than savoury. The Dark Force controllers exemplifying this quite demonstrably. They were the dubious fellows, putting it mildly. And so, in this dream, I would find myself in the presence of some very dubious fellows. They were sporting expensive suits, and sipping equally as expensive wine from probably very highly priced crystal goblets. There was not one thing about them that did not suggest expense, from their clothes to their crockery. They even managed to sport the sort of expressions that suggested wealth, a sort of conceited, my handkerchief is worth more than your entire house sneer. They made no attempt to conceal who they were. They were Dark Forces peoples, the evil ones. And then they offered me a deal. It was vast quantities of monies. I declined. They seemed unperturbed, not put out of countenance, and the scene and all the expense that accompanied it faded away. In the next scene, I was in the old living room of my deceased grandmother's house, and there was Peter, my father, and my deceased grandmother, suddenly not quite so deceased. Peter extended a document to me, and on examination, it proved to be a life insurance policy. My gran insisted I sign it. I hesitated. I'd never signed a real side document before. The momentary delay had my gran dissolve into a fit of rage, seething and demanding I sign it. At this point, my real self-awareness afforded me the impressions of deception. It was a ruse or other, and so I declined yet again, and the scene would fade away. So, in the initial scene, it was a very blatant attempt to buy me off. Lindsay certainly agreed. Gran would barely raise her voice, let alone froth and rave, as I described, as though she had rabies. Everyone will undoubtedly experience such attempts to be bought off too, if they choose the journey to the ears. Some have speculated how they could even consider taking the money and simply continue on with their awareness process, maybe use the funding for a beneficial cause. Nevertheless, I wouldn't wish to be in the controller's pockets, for surely to take their coin would be tantamount to an agreement, and talk about a deal with the devil, taplines may surely follow, and maybe the kind of cause and effect karma then, that would allow me to be destroyed far more readily. Lindsay wondered how many shoes she may have purchased with the money, and in fact, if we do stand in our real awareness, and our intent is firmly recognized with the recognition of the ears, then we can do such things as take the money and see what happens. Maybe it would kick-start a new adventure, and a new pair of shoes for Lindsay. Although with anyone who accepts their blood money, seems they are very easily taken out if they lack awareness, so it follows that such dealings place an unaware individual in this karmic potential assassination predicament. As aware beings, we become almost superheroes in a sense, less eliminatable. Lindsay asked if that was in fact a word. It sounded pretty good to me, so I would use it forevermore. In scene 2, I did not at first see through the deception. The real side does indeed reveal all. It seems that awareness is required. To have knowledge of the other creational vehicles first, then to be able to regulate the vehicle's behaviours to conceal and obfuscate. Naturally, very aware beings on their process wouldn't need to do this, as they would be far more sincere, and thus to hide who they really were on the real side would be unnecessary. The controllers then have awareness to a point, up to, say, a certain life level, but not enough to conceal and rein in all their other vehicles, and so they are laid bare, as the dodgy and dubious fellows that they choose to be. So the controllers do like to mimic and replicate people we know through clones and shapeshifting. But it seems again, with their awareness marginal at best, their copies are flawed, but only flawed to the view of those with the awareness to see them, or they'd be very believable. As in a few dreams when I've encountered Dark Force replicas, they've either been distorted, unfinished, or on occasion faceless. I was able to recognise the attempted deception through my real awareness. On this occasion, though, the duplicates were very good, and so I would suggest that as moments pass, the controllers up the ante. They send in more adept tiers of their shapeshifting minions to attempt to deceive where the lesser agents had failed. But still, if I stand in my awareness, I will see through even the best of their minions. In this case, I was able to perceive their rage, very characteristic of emotionally driven controllers, and perhaps, had I not been in my awareness, a blanketing filter might have had me not only seeing them as the genuine family members, but unable to see their real intent, demonstrated with their irate natures. I may have seen them as all charms and smiles. They may have been able to maintain the facade up to a certain life level, before their limited awareness prevented them from doing so any further. And with awareness, one can step into a position beyond creation and see it all, glean impressions from all five vehicles in all five life levels. The life insurance was curious. The controllers are always watching us, always looking for opportunities and ways in. Recently, through some real side experiences, I had formed the opinion I was going to be passing over, but on sharing this, I was assured by Dwayne that we are always the decider. If we have the awareness, we can decide whatever we want, and far more prudent to stay in my current position and continue on with my awareness. So, consequently, I took this on board and decided just that, and have had no similar dreams of a passing over nature since. But seems the controllers were watching and took the chance to perhaps reinstill this notion by persuading me to sign a real side life insurance policy. If I had done so, this would be possibly an agreement then, and possibly I'd re-establish my decision to pass on. And if I overlooked this dream and forgot all about it, I'd have this decision rattling around my subconscious. And with any agreement, I'd have another tapline. It would be in the interests of the controllers to persuade an individual to pass over, particularly one on their journey to the ears, as they must realise too that if I passed on and returned, I may not re-establish my connection with my awareness, and in essence they'd have convinced me to potentially forfeit my opportunity, at least for now. Also, if I returned and my connection with my awareness was absent, what an opportunity for them to take me out before I do perchance re-establish my awareness and begin causing trouble again from their perspective. Or they might seize the chance to buy me off straight away to cater to my personal self, who, without the connection to the real self and the ears, would be far more persuadable. For a disconnected personal self surely loves its thrills, its fortunes and fame. Then I'd have myself spiralling into cause and effect future lifetimes, chasing all these little intents and material things. Following on from this dream, I had another of a similar person-mimicking nature. On this occasion, I couldn't see, though had the impression of being amongst new friends, and we were all in communication with Dwayne. I was asking him questions about this and that, and a little like the dream earlier, where the controllers can mimic up to a point, maybe up to a certain life level their awareness will permit them. But that which can be recognised by one able to stand with the ease and see all creation and all life levels and vehicles, and so any hint of deception can be recognised. Here again, the mimicry was very good, so perhaps one of their better minions. For as I was speaking with Dwayne, the impressions I received were that something was off. He was speaking the words, but they had no life to them. They were not infused with the vibrancy, the aliveness of the true reality. And then I saw further through the smoke screen. His voice began to change also. It became a female voice. So the filters of deception reached so far before the imposter was revealed. It's very possible the deceiver was Joni, or maybe a female of a fair degree of doppelganger mimicking acumen. For where I was, I could not see the new friends or Dwayne, just the impressions of them. So all I can say here is be aware that some of these controllers do seem to have some remarkable abilities and very clever mimicking skills, but that as clever as they are self-limited, and if one stands real with the ears, their deceptions and smoke screens are exposed. So I guess you could call this a heads up. Watch out for those pesky dark forces. Lindsay had to concede that creation sure wasn't what we think it is, and that was so. It isn't at all as we thought it was, from our personal limited view. The experiences are examples of learning to be more objective about things, and taking on the idea of the karma. Again, it doesn't become karmic, and we don't take on tap lines if what we are doing is providing a benefit, when we take on the adventure of life. Also, the guides are backing us when we activate adventures based on our real intent objective, that we are willing to walk into the fire and do something, just as they have done. Every individual must do this, to walk the razor's edge, as the guides have done, to have that position for themselves, and stand real. So from a personal self to a real self, and taking it on, as there is only a window open for the moment. There was a window open in Paul Twitchell's day, but when he left, things became funny, and the window is there no longer. People think it still is, but it's only the carcass they see. They think the carcass is the reality, but it is not, and now things have taken a new position, and now a new window of opportunity. Yes, the ears will always be around, the ears is, but there are so many factors in creation, like all the parts to build a car. Yes, you have the idea to build the car, but if the parts are lacking, you haven't got the car. It takes a lot to get a presentation to be established for people to relate to, and that is workable in the world. That is what life is now. And every decision that is made through free will, then things become so. Nothing can be taken for granted. This is very real. So maybe, yes, taking the money and proceeding with the process of awareness anyway may have been a more fun option. If it's taken solely for personal reasons, this is fine, but then it becomes its own nature, and cause and effect karma can come to bear. Whatever we decide is okay, but there's always a way to do it, an opportunity to take on a challenge that we can better figure out and recognize the is even more so. And with that, my dream sharing was complete. The dog's barking heralded the return of Peter. Peter was instantly pestered and badgered by Lindsay for the location of his dream book, and if it contained information about the family members attacking me on the real side. As this continued, I closed my own dream journal and retired for the evening, perchance to dream, to have real side encounters, to turn into a giant bird and steal the lunch from any dark side controller, foolish enough to be within lunch-stealing range.